This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world-famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California, for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, being joined once again by the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
Good. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. We could not talk about WWE this week and just talk about the shenanigans at AEW, the pay-per-view. I feel like we're not even going to talk about the pay-per-view, which is crazy to me because there were some good matches, but it all is dwarfed by what happened after.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk a bit, aside from what we already spoke during our last episode with Eric Bischoff. If you are watching this and you haven't seen that, please go check it out. And regardless of what the news sites show you, he said all that stuff with us first before saying it on his own show. So, you know, show us some love. Tell your people. He called CM Punk a bitch on our show. It was awesome. But then he called him a bitch on his own show, so whatever. Anyway. There, I do want to bring up something I didn't bring up while we were talking to Eric about that pay-per-view, and it was Ishii versus Eddie Kingston, which was on, like, the pre-show.
Right. I watched it.
What a match, dude.
Great match, but it was thrown together so fast, I think a week before, that, and I know they had wrestled once in Japan, but, you know, to the casual fan, they didn't know that. I don't like it when they, I understand you got to have a dark match to get the crowd going and all that stuff, but to see Eddie Kingston not be on the main card, like, I don't know, put pretty Peter Avalon in a dark match and get the crowd going, not Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. He's
built up for the last year.
Yeah, super over. I mean, you talk to people like Josh Marowitz, Autistic Thunder, and he'll tell you he should be world champion right now. So,
well, he might be if enough backstage fights happen.
Yeah, they're going to keep running out of talent. It's amazing.
I don't think AEW will ever run out of talent. 2,300 people on the roster.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So, I mean, unless you've been living under a rock, you've heard that after the All Out pay-per-view, which was like 5.5 hours, 16 matches long, which is way too many matches, there was a backstage kerfuffle, if you will. CM Punk decided in the press conference to just blow up on Steve Colton, Colt Cabana, and then started trashing the Young Bucks, started trashing Kenny Omega. All of this while Tony Khan was having a heart attack right next to him and while eating a muffin or a cupcake or whatever the fuck he was eating.
I mean, you know, I don't think this is a work. I think from what I understand about CM Punk, this is just who he is.
Yeah.
He clearly went into business for himself. And it's just, I don't think he can bring him back. You know, there's just, he ruined the pay-per-view because no one talked about it.
Yeah.
So
everybody skipped right into the press conference. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I can't believe the people that thought it was a work just because it's, why would they give Colt Cabana any shine if it's a work? You know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't bring that up as a work. If he was trying to work the Bucks or maybe, you know, Kenny Omega, or maybe just trying to act like a dick. I don't really know what the idea behind a work for this is. But what ended up happening after the press conference, even, apparently there's two sides to the story. One side is the Punk side, obviously, and the other side is the Elite guys. And one side states Punk went to his locker room and the Bucks went over there to talk to him because in the press conference he said, if you got a problem with me, handle it with me. So they went to go do that, which makes sense to me. I would go knock on his door after those comments that he made. But apparently he didn't answer, so they kicked the door down and there was a scuffle. Punches were thrown. Nobody knows who threw the first punch, if it was Matt Jackson or CM Punk. But people were swinging. Apparently, a chair was thrown at Nick Jackson, which apparently hit him in the eye, gave him a black eye. And Kenny Omega ended up getting bit by Steel. What's his name?
Ace Steel.
Now, reports from the Elite side was that Kenny went in and tried to save Larry the dog, CM Punk's dog. And that's when Ace bit him.
Which is funny that he went in to save a dog and got bit by a human.
Right, right. Also, when you're looking at this from the outside, without any bias, and you're trying to figure out who the aggressor is, who's the bad guy in this situation, is it the guy who's trying to save a dog?
I mean,
you know what I mean? The guy who's more concerned about saving an animal than the whole fight that was going on. I don't think this was Kenny's doing, or if he's at fault for any of it.
I don't think we'll ever know the real story.
Yeah.
No. This reminds me a lot, and I'm dating myself here, when Lex Luger infamously fought Bruiser Brody, and Bruiser Brody no-sold him the whole time, and Luger ran out of the ring. And then, you know, you get Lex Luger's side of the story. He went over to Brody, talked to him. Brody said, hey, it's cool, man. It was just a rough day for me. And then you get people from Brody's side of the fence going, Luger never went over to Brody to squash it. He drove out of the – ran out of the arena, basically. So who do you believe?
I mean,
I've heard CM Punk's a dick.
From multiple people, multiple sources.
We both have friends who are current wrestlers at AEW and behind-the-scenes people. I've never once heard a good word about him. Like, oh, he's a great guy. Like, you know, you ask people about Kenny Omega, very few bad words are said about him. Oh, he's a great guy. He puts people over. He does this. He does that. He's a company guy. You never hear that about CM Punk. So I'm almost leaning towards the Young Bucks and Omega's version, although you do hear some things about the Young Bucks being a little cocky, but
it's their gimmick,
you know. But they've also earned it, like,
yeah, that's that too. Yeah, they've been around the block, and it's not just because they built AEW. I've been following the Bucks since New Japan, and they've put in the work, man. All the indie scenes, they've done ROH, they've done Impact, they've done it all. So, I don't know, I'm on the side of the Bucks as well. I've never ever minced words about CM Punk. I don't like him. I didn't like him in WWE. I was with Triple H in that one promo back in the day where he's like, you're just trying to, you know, you're not happy unless you're the one on top or you're the man on top. But I used to be the same way, and I would tell you that I was going to step on you, whereas you do it behind the scenes, which is what happened. He did it in a fucking press conference. I don't know. I think it's not cool.
At the same time, don't you think that that's been trending for 4 days. I still think it's a work. I know you guys think I'm crazy.
I mean, I would agree with you. Like, I would go, okay, this is setting up something for All or Nothing, which is really in November, not that far away. But I don't think there's any way they pull on the Dynamite after a major, major pay-per-view, Omega, the Bucks, CM Punk. Like, that's just...
Well, I mean, here's again, this is like going to sound conspiracy theory-ish, but apparently Punk got injured. I imagine he got injured. Tony Khan could have had the EVPs and Punk say, hey, Punk's injured. We have to get him off TV. What can we do? They're like, yeah, let's go with this plan. To make it legit, they pulled the titles off the off the Elite. And then the reality is, like, we don't know if anybody in the Elite got injured during their match. I assume not, but even... What really set it in for me was the voicemail that MJF played before his reveal. He was like, you're really hurting the company. MJF isn't the reason that they pulled the shirts off the site and removed him from the site. Like, that was a decision that Tony Khan made. Like, MJF couldn't sue him for that. Like, if he didn't appear to TV, they could have still made money off his merch. So it just makes me feel like Tony will go the length to sell a story, even if it costs money.
I mean, I hear you, but I feel like this does more damage than good at the end of the day. Just, you know, seeing the people's reaction, like, yes, it's trending. Yes, it actually took away from Vince McMahon's trending stories because everybody's now focusing on this. But it doesn't seem like a good idea to have such turmoil be the storyline of your company where, you know, your talent is basically shitting all over your company and all over you while you're sitting right next to him and he's eating cake. It just doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
I mean, if they just pulled Punk's title, I would agree with John.
Yeah, like, that too. Oh, yeah.
But there's no way you'd do this whole thing for months about the trios matches, the build up, some of the vignettes, which, you know, I love the Omega Osprey thing. And then you take their titles too. Like, that's like a huge waste of the last 2 or 3 months.
But it's not, though. You still have the Elite as the first ever trios champions. I think CM Punk got injured and they said, we have to do something. And the EVPs made a call that, despite what CM Punk said in the press conference, shows that they're EVPs just as much as their wrestlers. They made a decision to take the belts off themselves for the sake of a storyline. How long they're off TV, that's the question. I think Tony Khan knew that he had MJF for Dynamite, so he could have. And they asked Jericho and Mox to show up, but so they knew that they had some big names attached to Dynamite. If the EVPs are back next week, then I think this is all a work.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. We can wait and see, kind of like how we are still waiting for Cody to come back from his fake injury.
I mean, they had to. They couldn't give him the... He's getting the title. They couldn't give it to him early. I forgot whose pod I was listening to. We could get into that at a later time, but people are thinking Roman's defending his titles both nights and Cody's winning the second night in April. So I do think that they just didn't want to blow the Cody load early by giving him a title and ruining the Roman thing. They didn't give it to what's his name?
McIntyre
in his home. Like, they're really pushing Roman, and it would have devalued Cody too quickly.
I think it's devaluing Cody not having him on television.
Oh no, when he gets back, he's gonna get a huge fucking pop.
Yeah, for that first week, but yeah. Then people are gonna go, all right.
Like, but that's sort of what happened anyway. He came back at WrestleMania, Hell in a Cell. He got a pop, but it wasn't like the WrestleMania pop.
See, here's what I think AEW should do. They should have Punk in the ring. MJF comes out with Colt Cabana. Like, that would be, that would break Twitter. You know, they're such a social media company, like Bischoff said. Like, and like, Colt Cabana, I think mainstream fans don't know who he is to a degree, but like, everyone knows the names of the players in this story. That would be huge if he just stood behind, you know, because where's Sean Spears? Like, they just.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Like, that's insane. Yeah. That he's a great cowardly sidekick henchman.
Yeah.
And they don't even address where he is. Like, it's insane.
And now MJF has a completely new click. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah, I don't like the click. I mean, we don't
know if it's his click, but they obviously helped him on Sunday.
But like, that made no sense to me.
Yeah, I hope I hope he comes out and says, no, I just paid them off to help me out for this situation, and they're not actually his click. They're just kind of like mercenaries or something, because I don't think he belongs in that group at all.
But also to the media coverage of Tony Khan's voicemail bringing back MJF, they're treating it as if MJF took a private voicemail and it's not a work, and that's making me think this is all a work.
I thought it was great how they revealed him.
Yeah, I thought it was great because it explained it. It's like, listen, we need you back. But the fact that the media is reporting it as if it's MJF crossed the line by playing it on the air, it makes me think the media is in with Tony Khan, and that's what Tony Khan means when he has creative ways to beat the WWE.
I guess weird. We'll see. You know, we'll see how it plays out. This Dynamite was very interesting. It felt exciting because we were waiting to see what the reaction to all of this bullshit was going to be. It started with Tony Khan wide-eyed, out of control, telling everybody that he was stripping the titles. They were going to have a trios match that night, which ended up going to the Death Triangle. I love the Lucha Bros and Pac, so good for them. But I also like Best Friends, and they're more over, so it's kind of a little controversial there. Some people thought it should have been Best Friends. I mean, I'm sure you thought that way.
I mean, I just think they're wasting Orange Cassidy with the pure comedy. Like, I get it. You know, he does his little kicks and whatnot. He's such a good wrestler.
He should have a title.
I love Best Friends. Trent's a great guy. This is where I think Tony Khan would benefit from either Steven Regal or someone going, hey, man, this guy's a star. We got to have him break away and be a solo guy or tag belts or something. So I do. Their booking sometimes is so, like, I didn't think Hobbs should go over Starks. That crowd was begging for Starks to win. And I know it's dangerous to book off of what the fans want, but that crowd would have gone nuts.
Yeah.
And I love Hobbs, but.
Well, I think that's going to be another match where Starks.
Like, there's gonna be another rematch.
Yeah, he's gonna eventually beat him. It's gonna be like an uphill climb, and it's gonna pay off. I'm not worried about that. How would you guys have brought MJ? How would you guys have handled the title, the heavyweight title on Dynamite?
I would have just come out and said what happened. I would have addressed it direct. I would have been like, hey, we due to backstage incidents. I'm sure all of you read it because he knows his fans are reading it. They know, everybody's aware. Anybody that's watching AEW knows what happened. Yeah. Just address it straight up. Look, we have to do this. and we're going to move on and you know, do a tournament and whatever. Like, I like the way that they stripped it and did a tournament and a match. That's fine. But I would have addressed it, because the fact that he just didn't even acknowledge that it happened, and I get it. Some people are saying that's because of legalities, because there's investigations going on, and there might be potential sues going on, and they can't really say much. But still, I don't know. I would have addressed it direct.
Well, the problem with AEW is they cater towards smart fans and then casual fans. So I don't know. I'm not disagreeing with you completely, but I don't know if a lot of people do know what went on after that. You know, there's a lot of fans who just watch the pay-per-view. You know, they don't really go on Twitter a lot or the dirt sheets. So a lot of them are in the weeds about, oh, what happened? You know, they might have looked it up after.
But even then, like, wouldn't you explain, like, for those people, even a little bit, like, hey, Punk got injured, or hey, there was an incident due to unforeseen circumstance. They didn't even say that. It was just like, hey, we had to vacate the title, so we're going to do a thing. It's like the casual fans probably like, what? What happened? Why? What's going on? I was just cheering for Kenny Omega. What happened?
See, that didn't bother. I thought that would have been a legal issue, so that's why I didn't care so much that he did a pre-tape. First of all, it would have probably been a legal issue, but second of all, the hate that he would have got when he walked out there in front of the live crowd, I think he's too much of a fan to handle that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would have been cool.
Yeah, well, I would have made MJF go full heel. I would have had him come out, do exactly what he did, make it seem like he's now a baby face.
Go Bills.
Yeah, go Bills. And then I would have said, I'm claiming my title shot right now, and there would have been no one to defend it, and he gets handed the title the same way Bischoff, I think, gave it to Triple H. I would have made him the biggest heel.
Yep.
Because now the fans are cheering him on. The fans want him to win. I would have rather had him handed the belt where the fans are like, he didn't earn this.
Yeah, it fits more of his character too. That smarmy kind of like, he just walked in and took it.
I mean, I love how he also talked about the WWE. Like, now some people are like, you're referencing them, you're giving them power. Like,
he's putting them over, basically.
But like, that's what a great heel would do. Like, put the other company over on your big show. Yeah. I love MJF. They have to re-sign him or give him they cannot lose him, because he's just, although I love Omega as a heel, and you know, I know the New Japan guys, you know, they can't come over here full time, because I think Jay White and Ospreay would be, oh my God, if you could add them to just Dynamite. But I know they're not going to come over here just for Dynamites and pay-per-views.
Yeah,
they are set pretty deep with nice heel potential, but you know, I know that's the one thing I don't like about the New Japan guys. Like, they don't explain, like, after their run is over, what happened. It's like Will Ospreay was like never here.
Yeah.
Jay White, never here. Which I know they have to go back there, but like, there's got to be something better they can do to explain the absence.
Well, that's a recurring thing. That's the same thing with what happened with the belts. Like, they don't explain shit. They don't explain who these new wrestlers that are coming in are. They don't explain what happened to them, to Will Ospreay. They don't explain what happened with the belts. They're just like, they're being stripped. And it's like, just a little bit of communication, I think, would make a huge difference. Even if it's fake, make something up.
Or like I'm an AEW super mark, but like someone else has said, you know, the honeymoon period's over for AEW.
Oh, yeah.
So now they're going to get critiqued. Like, I critique the WWE, say, I don't like this. Now I'm going to do that to AEW. And like the Jay Lethal being given new tag partners, like, kind of, like, randomly, you know, you built Satnam Singh and the other dude, who's the bald manager?
Sanjay Dutt.
Like, you build them as a threesome, and then a week and a half, 2 weeks before the pay-per-view, we're going to give them the Motor City Mechanics. Like, like, what? Like, and they're great. Like, even I have heard of them, but it's like, it made no... Did that make sense to you?
No, it did not. No. I mean, only because they all work together in Impact, but now, again, you're depending on people watching Impact, which very few people do. So,
I mean, I watched it for Morrissey, you know, because I am a fan of his. I do think he seems to be over here full time now in AEW. I think he'd benefit from a manager like so Stokely and him. This is an interesting thing. And then, like, you know, another thing, you know, the Ass Boys. I can't believe I have to say that. And by the way, I just ordered 4 shirts on AEW, and no, Scissor Me Daddy Ass was not one of them.
It should have been. Come on.
I even talked to one of the Ass Boys. I said, Lou, I love you guys. I can't wear that shirt in West Hollywood. You're out of control. I'll wear my Sting shirt because people won't know what the fuck that is, but I'm not wearing something that says daddy ass.
Scissor me daddy ass.
Not on Larrabee in West Hollywood.
I in big my, pink letters,
I
too.
I just gave my home street out. but, like, they didn't even really explain, you know, Billy Gunn and his kid. Like, that was just kind of, okay, they turned on their dad. That's it. We're going to pair him with the claim.
There's too much going on right now.
Yeah.
It's chaos.
But, like, that would take 10 seconds to, like you said, make up something, anything.
Yeah. Well, there's just, when you don't have help from creative, you have these loose ends that I think you just forgot to tie up. And it's like, all right, well, we'll have them do this week. And it's like, well.
This is where I wish Regal would come in. And I'll assume he's already saying, hey, dude, like, you should probably do this a little better. Anyone, a full-time, a writer or a creative consultant, Bischoff, although he said he wouldn't do it unless they paid him enough, but he needs help, man.
They have help there. They have Jericho. I would even say Daniel Bryan, who was on the production side for a little bit, not the production side, but as the GM, he got to see a lot of the creative that he wasn't physically involved in. Like, yep. He has so much. What are you going to do? Why are you taking all these WWE guys if you're just going to use them for their name?
Well, I mean, that's what brought down WCW, so, you know, and you think, you know, Tony Khan is a fan. You know, he knows the history of what happened to WCW and how it, you know, Ted Turner had a lot more money than Vince McMahon. So just having money doesn't guarantee success.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. I'm going to keep watching to see what happens. I know that I wanted to point something out because nobody seems to have been pointing this out in all of the wrestling sites and podcasts that I've watched. Everybody was very stoked on Jericho saying it's his locker room now and no one's taking it from him. So he's taking shots, basically saying he's going to become the locker room leader. However, doing that same exact promo, which was before the Bryan Danielson match, he goes, I beat him already and I'm going to beat him again at this night for, you know, like he revealed that Bryan Danielson was going to win that match by mistake during his promo. Go back and watch it if you don't believe me. But he, by mistake, gave away the finish of that match on his promo.
I mean,
I don't think anybody, I don't know. A lot of people were interested between Hangman. Hangman's a big name. Could have been Hangman. I don't think anybody went in going like, oh, it's going to be obviously Bryan Danielson.
I mean, this is stuff that just wouldn't happen in WWE. Vince McMahon, in his heyday, would have made Jericho redo the segment on live TV. Like, all right, you just effed up the finish of the match. It's about to happen. Redo. Fans will give you a free T-shirt. Just act like you didn't hear that first part.
Oh, I've been to WWE events where they reshot segments of the match because something went wrong.
Yeah, they've done that. Well, they definitely did that during the pandemic era.
Yeah, anything that's going to be televised, they'll reshoot.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I do appreciate WWE. It's just a lot more professionally
produced
and, you know, you get the feeling that if, can you imagine, let's say, I don't know, Kevin Nash, if he was shooting on Vince McMahon in front of him at a press conference, that press conference stops, everyone's kicked out, Nash is fired, and then it's just Vince McMahon at the podium. Okay, any questions? Yeah. There needs to be some. Tony Khan just needs someone of authority who's respected to help with the locker room, help with ideas, because they can't go on this path for much longer. It's you know, too many people are going to leave.
Yeah. I also saw a clip of Jericho after he did his scrum, whatever that is, leaning over to Tony Khan. The mics are still hot, and you can hear him say some shit went down. Like into Tony Khan's ear, and
That's why I think it's all a work. Jericho should know better than to, and he did it in front. Did you see how he went in front of him? Like when you're going to, it was all intentional. That camera angle with the security guard. I mean, come on.
We'll see. If they act like, I'll know for sure if they announce that CM Punk is fired, like gone.
That's the only way. That's the only way that I'll know. Like Meltzer's right now saying, oh, there's legal stuff. That's why we don't have confirmed detail. No, CM Punk got hurt again. He has no business being back. Get rid of him just because he sucks.
Yeah.
Well, he is a draw. Like, you know, I hate to say it, but
yeah, people love him. But
and, you know, now people are going to tune in that love him and that hate him. Like me. I mean, I won't say I hate him, but, like, I don't like him, but I'm going to tune in so MJF kicks his ass, or whoever he's going up against.
Yeah, and today I made the mistake of checking out our comment section. Apparently,
on YouTube?
Yeah. I never done that, and I checked it today. I'm like, oh, okay. So apparently our hate for Punk is not... it's a shit take, guys. But hey, I'm sorry. I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen it ever. I didn't even see it during the pipe bomb. When I saw the pipe bomb, I was like, okay, whatever. I don't know. I wasn't impressed, but we'll see. Supposedly, the Bucks, Omega, Pat Buck, Brandon Cutler, and Michael Nakazawa all suspended, but I don't buy that. I mean, they own the part of the company. I don't really think they're going to suspended. They're probably just taking some paid leave to go hang out with their family, which is fine.
That's what I think it is. A lot of people are getting, like, he's coming up with creative ways for people to be off TV.
But I mean, I don't, like, Omega, maybe Omega got hurt again. You know,
or still needs a little bit more time to recover because he was still recovering.
His body looks great.
But yeah. I'm also not against like what WWE does. This is why their guys are hurt and get hurt for long periods of time. If MJF was just feeling rough and that's why he took these 3 months off, I'm all for it. If you need to find creative ways to give your guys time off, do it. That, like we heard when AEW was starting, they were getting health benefits and shit like that. That might be part of it. If you need time off, we'll give it to you. We'll work you out of a story. I imagine there's got to be one or two guys here that just needed some time to recover still. Omega just got back from injury, so we can't be putting him on full force again.
Yeah. We'll see. It's going to be very interesting. However, something that leads me to believe that it's not a work is the fact that Malakai Black has been granted his release. He is no longer with AEW. Apparently, he might come back, but he's going through some stuff and, you know, thoughts and prayers or whatever. I'm not a thoughts and prayers kind of guy, but, you know, my heart's with him. Whatever he's going through, I hope he gets through it. But he's taking a leave of absence from wrestling. I'm curious where this leaves the rest of the House of Black, Brody King and Buddy Murphy and Julia Hart. Matthew? It used to be Murphy's. Murphy in WWE, sorry. Buddy Matthews and Julia Hart. We'll see. Apparently, it was Malakai Black and six others that were not named that were granted their release.
How about this? Here's an idea. Depending on what's actually going on with Malakai Black. I mean, they've hinted in various articles and dirt sheets that it was maybe a mental situation.
Yeah, mental health, yeah.
You know, it's nothing to make fun of, even from a scumbag like me. What if Sting turns heel and runs House of Black for a minute?
Like, I mean, they have to. It needs to be something good like that.
It's just like almost in a humorous way. Like he shows up, you know, and starts spitting black stuff like he did against Malakai.
Yeah, he had the spit. He had it wasn't at the pay-per-view, but like one time he came out with the messed up eye as well. That'd be cool. I'm down for that. They have to figure something out because it would be a shame if they just get rid of the House of Black. Like Brody King is such a he had a match for the world title. You know what I mean? Like.
Because I think if you turn Sting against Darby Allin, and then he because that's going to happen eventually, because that storyline's kind of run its course. But this is the kind of stuff Tony Khan needs to hear. Like, oh, yeah, that could be a good idea.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully we get some clearance on, like, who the other six names were that were released. I mean, I know there's a few people that are unhappy backstage. And it's bound to happen with the amount of talent you have and the limited amount of TV time you have. And, you know, everybody wants to be champion. That's why they're wrestling. They want to be the guy. There's a few people that don't care, just coasting or you know, just doing the work or whatever. Like Nakamura doesn't really care anymore. He's just getting fat checks and surfing and having the time of his life. So he doesn't really care. But most people are there to become champion. And if you're not being used or being pushed in that direction, it can be very frustrating. And then you hear all this crazy. That's why, you know, if it is a work, the whole thing backstage, it doesn't help the people that are frustrated already. They're like, well, this place has gone to shit. Let me out of here, please. You know what I mean? That's the way I see it.
Well, I'll just say this. I did try and buy a Hollywood Hunk T-shirt, and it's no longer on the website. So I hope our buddy... after taking 10 power bombs from Wardlow, I hope he's one of the survivors.
Well, I mean, he was promoting Dynamite this past Wednesday on his Instagram, so I think he's okay.
But I mean, there's very few people who are worthy of TV time, to be honest with you. Like, you know, that you have to be, it's like comedy. You have to be realistic. You know, am I good enough to be on TV as a comic? Am I good enough to be in the 2 hours of Dynamite when you have MJF, who's, you know, he can do no wrong. You've got Moxley. And I mean, there's just not enough time. It's not, you know, the segments that, you know, some of these people could be in would be a disaster on TV. So, like,
okay, but to be fair, Mox's his segment yesterday.
Yeah, but you don't like him.
Yeah, you don't like him. I'm gonna call you out on this one because everybody on the internet, everybody backstage said that was the best Mox promo yet.
It was so, like, his face turns red. It's just, it was too much. It's calm down, guy.
I mean, I agree with you. It's a little one note. Like, I wish he would do some, you know, the angry.
I felt like he was just yelling at everybody. Like, calm down, dude.
I mean, if the company you're working for is in actual turmoil, I mean.
It was very weird to me. It felt very, like, phony and forced.
And I liked it, and from everything that I've heard online and from everybody's reactions, everybody thinks it's his best promo yet. We'll see. I think AEW will be fine. As much as I like the Elite, they'll be fine without him for a while. They'll be fine without Punk. They got Mox at the top of his game right now. I think he's more over now than he's ever been, and he's, you know, gone through all these trials and tribulations and championships, so he's a top star. MJF, top star. You still got Bryan Danielson there. You know, like, there's enough talent that the show will be fine. But there's a lot of shit going on. It's weird.
I mean, listen, WWE survived all the talent that they lost in the mid-90s. When you think about losing Hogan, losing Hall, Nash.
Macho.
Macho, Flair to a degree, even though he bounced around.
Yeah.
But, you know, they still lost him, and they survived fine. So, and, you know, maybe this is time for someone like Starks to, you know, maybe take that extra step up. I personally wanted to see Moxley and MJF. So I don't, you know, Punk and MJF was good. Now I want to, you know, I'm glad it's going to be what looks like Moxley and MJF.
I'd like to put the belt on Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
But it'll probably be Mox and MJF at the end.
I mean, there's some great potential matchups for MJF. Danielson would be great. Moxley, you know, maybe you could talk me into a rematch with Wardlow, even though I didn't like the squash match that they did in the first one. So they don't really need Punk. Like, I got to be honest with you.
They don't.
With the exception of Mox, I think right now he needs to start getting those dream matches done, because who knows how many of the former WWE guys are going to stick around. Like, he needs to make sure that Bryan Danielson's getting all those matches with Kenny Omega. He needs to make sure
100%.
Yeah, Miro. I think Miro's going to disappear soon. Like, we need to make sure that the...
Yeah, Miro's not very happy from what I've read.
Former WWE guys, Rusev Day is going to come back eventually. Get Miro in there with, like, a Hangman. That would be a solid match.
Yeah.
But...
Well, and then finally, I mean, there we didn't really talk about this with Bischoff, but there was a WWE pay-per-view and some follow-up. A very hilarious thing on Raw happened with Dexter Lumis and The Miz. Miz was having a cage match with Bobby Lashley, and as he was escaping from the cage, Dexter Lumis just slid out from underneath the ring, staring at him from the bottom. It was a hilarious shot. I've been loving everything that WWE is putting out. Like, not everything. I mean, not say everything. But a lot of it has been a lot better, a lot more exciting. I kind of wish they would have put the belt on Drew McIntyre at that Castle show. But on Raw, we had Braun Strowman returning. I was hoping it would be a Bray Wyatt return with him. But whatever, we got the choo-choo train back.
It was kind of interesting that they wanted, with the upside down car, I think they wanted you to think that that was a Dexter Lumis thing. Why I kind of like the creative, how it's working now, where you genuinely don't know what anything means.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the background, you saw like Nikki A.S.H. remove her mask. So like there's things going on and they're not spelled out to you the way that they were in the PG era where everything was just said.
Yeah, yeah. So even though Braun returned on Raw, reports are that he will be a babyface on SmackDown, which is interesting. I mean, he seemed very over it. Crowd was very excited that he was back. So, which is actually kind of surprising to me because he kind of went through some trouble post getting released, doing his little EC3 Control Your Narrative promotion that didn't really work out. I mean, they're still doing it, but it didn't really work out. Also, he apparently made some comments online and people tried to cancel him. I don't know. So I was really surprised that when he came back, people were like, oh, shit, you know, excited. I was excited. I mean, I like him.
But it wasn't really trending that much. Like, that's one thing AEW is probably happy about is that all that stuff, you know, you had Kenny Omega trending multiple times, Young Bucks. I don't think I saw Strowman's return really get much play, at least on Twitter.
Yeah, so, it trended, I mean, like, while it was happening, but then it kind of went away pretty quickly.
Tony Khan's probably thinking, hey, you know, it could have been worse.
That's why I think it's so. I think Tony Khan said, listen, watch, we're going to take the wrestling news cycle for the next week and a half, and he's probably going to. The thing that I read online about Braun that I agreed with was they did it at the wrong. Like, you don't bring him in during the tag team.
They were trying to build up the tag division.
Like, you just undid all of that by having Braun destroy 8 people.
Yeah, he definitely squashed the tag division, which is sad. Yeah, that was kind of a Vince move. You know, Triple H isn't perfect, so that's why I said I liked most of what's been going on. That was kind of a bad move. But what is exciting is that there is more what appears to be more champion contenders. We've got Braun now. We've got KO. We've got Karrion Kross. We've got, you know, Drew McIntyre's kind of still in the picture. Cody, whenever he returns.
Lashley's.
I think Lashley's stuck in that United States title picture for a while. I think he's going to mid-card it for a bit. But they try to elevate the mid-card belts, make them more important, so that's good. But there is some legitimate contenders now for Roman, I think, that is cool because he came out and said, oh, I've beaten everyone. There's no one left. Well, here's 4 more guys.
are they, though? Because we've seen Brock demolish all of those people and Roman beat him 3 times. I feel like it was such a risky thing to put him over Brock again, and now he's going to compete against these guys that couldn't beat Brock either. It's just very, I don't think there's a contender yet. They have to bring in a new guy.
I agree. Well,
Karrion Kross is new.
Brock. Karrion Kross is a possibility. I think Karrion Kross is a good possibility. Who else were they looking to? I think Bron Breakker, if they bring him up. He'll be an interesting feud with Solo Sikoa.
I hope they change his name if they bring him to the main roster. I can't stand Bron Breakker. Like, what is that name?
Yeah, they got to make him a Steiner.
Yeah, just make him Steiner. Bron Steiner or Breakker Steiner, whatever the fuck you want to call him. I just don't like Bron Breakker.
He's got to come out with that thing Scott Steiner would wear, the silver.
The head cups?
The wrestling headgear.
Yeah. If you know that. He wore like that Egyptian,
the silver chain.
Oh, the big Papa Pump. Woof. Yeah. And when I said I don't like Bron Breakker, I like him. I don't like the name. So just to be clear before the comments eat me up. all right. So we got a topic. We were going to bring it up with Bischoff, but we just had so much to talk about that we didn't. But the factions is the topic of the day. And I wanted to do top 3 factions for each of us. Earl, you're. By the way, this setup is switched today, so I feel a little weird looking to the right.
It is weird.
Yeah. So, Earl, you go first.
Well, seeing that I'm the oldest guy here, I'm going to pick a faction that, you know, they had so many changes because there wasn't really a set long time for any one particular group, but the Four Horsemen.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, that's a big one.
I mean, the first one was probably the best, you know, with Blanchard, Anderson, who's the other guy? Ole Anderson and Flair. You know, that was just an amazing, amazing, the best bad guy. They were just the best heels. And they always had good faces to go up against, which was important. Sting, Magnum TA. And then they started switching them too much, I thought. That would be my first pick, the Four Horsemen.
All right. I mean, I love the Four Horsemen. They are definitely in my honorable mentions list.
Honorable mentions?
Yeah.
Really? They don't make top 3?
Not for me.
All right.
I definitely missed a lot of WCW growing up. I was more of a WWE guy. And then I, you know, when the network brought out all the WCW content, I caught up. But, you know, I wasn't there for it, you know what I mean? Right. So it never really captivated me that much. There's still, you know, all 4 of those guys, greatest of all time. And like I said, but I'm talking about faction-wise and impact that they've had. For me, number three, Bullet Club. The Bullet Club, during the time that Finn Balor was leader of the Bullet Club, all the way through Kenny Omega being the leader of Bullet Club. That's many years. They had Finn Balor, they had AJ Styles, they had Adam Cole, and then Kenny Omega. Those are some huge names that are that were leading that faction. It's kind of gone by the wayside now. I still like them, but they also, you know, adapted the Too Sweet, which was, I love it. You know, I was all about it. The shirts, the merchandising was incredible. They had a tremendous run. Even when Cody was in it, it was a tremendous run. So Bullet Club for me is definitely in my top three. How about you, John?
I would say my favorite that I think just led to some of the best stories, Ministry of Darkness. That was The Undertaker.
Yeah, that was
Edge, Christian.
Was that the with JBL in it? JBL?
No, that was Edge, Christian, the guy who used to walk around with Midian, the guy who used to walk around with the pig shit with his brother, the Godwins.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the one where they had Stephanie up on the cross and Austin came in and saved her. Like that, that was probably, that was a pretty good faction, I would say.
JBL and who was the other dude that was with him? When they were the Acolytes, was that, were they part of that at some point?
That was the, oh, the Acolytes were in there also. Yeah,
at some point. I mean, yeah,
that's what it's before they became the APA. That's probably my favorite faction.
Oh yeah, Ron Simmons, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking gothed out JBL with black hair and eyeliner.
Oh, it was wild.
Before Bart Gunn whacked him.
I think Evolution was a genius faction. That's top three for me. Like they, that was just Evolution. The name itself. You had all these generations, and you built every single person there became a superstar because they built them up the way that, that they specifically needed to be built up.
Have you ever seen the Evolution promo shots with Sean O'Hare in them?
Yeah.
Like what an idiot that guy was. Like, dude. He, I mean, he would have been huge, but like great looking, good wrestler.
What was his name in WWE?
What?
What was his name in WWE?
Sean O'Hara, right?
No, he had a
Jindrak? No.
Yeah, Mark Jindrak. Yeah.
Right. So that's one of those ones. It's a very rare, it's really only one picture, I think, where they're walking down the street and the four of them are in nice suits. And it's like, oh man, you really messed up, dude.
Current factions, who are you guys into now?
So wait. So you said Ministry and Evolution. Is that three and two for you?
I would say that's one and two.
One and two.
And then the third one, I really like the Riot Squad. They were just fun. I wouldn't say they're the best, but I think they were like a fun female faction that everybody kind of got behind. They had this like punk rock, even though two of them got the boot.
Yeah.
But one's the champion now, so I guess like one out of three is not bad.
All right. Well, John gave all three of his, so you go ahead and tell the other two.
I thought we were doing that.
You can tell we're really practiced this segment. Well, much like the Four Horsemen, my next pick is really the original version of this faction, the NWO. I mean, that's probably on most people's list.
Yeah, that's my number two. That's my number two.
You know, but then it got a little wonky when they, you know, I was almost okay with them adding the Giant, but then it just got too, you know, when Horace Hogan and Virgil are in it, out of control.
Yeah.
Conan. I mean, it was.
Everybody was in it.
Some of those NWO segments at the end of their run says 28 guys in the ring. But that original.
Hall Nash
and Hogan, it was just so well built up. And, you know, the Bash at the Beach turn on Hogan was so well done, and it goes back to the storytelling, how it used to be, where they really kind of took their time with who the mystery third partner is going to be. Even Hall came in and for 2 or 3 weeks was like, I got my big guy, and everyone knew it was Nash, but still they drug it out a little bit, so the momentum was just at an all-time high. And of course Sting, Luger, and Macho Man were the great face team to go up against. And a little unbelievable that Luger got knocked out, you know, completely, but, you know, now it would be believable, but that Lex Luger, so I'm going to go with the NWO.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's my number two for sure. Same exact lineup and everything. So I'll give you my number one, because, and you know, I'll date myself, as you've said just earlier.
You can't date yourself with me sitting next to you.
No, yeah, I'll date myself. DX is my number one faction because they were the ones. They were the, I was, you know, peak watching wrestling as a kid and doing the suck it all over school. And
that's
you
believable.
Know what I mean? Like, fuck, I was all over the place. Like, fuck it, fuck. And so that's my number one faction for sure.
I just can only imagine an 8-year-old Eddie going up to girls in his grade school, suck it.
I wasn't in grade school. I mean, I'm not that. I'm a little older than that. I was in high school, I think, during DX.
But that's even worse.
well, I was actually getting laid in high school, so that's good. It actually worked.
I'm just gonna go to my next group. No, it's not necessarily the best one, like you know John's last selection, but Devastation Incorporated, which was Kevin Sullivan, Kamala. It was World Class Championship Wrestling, and I think Sheik Adnan El-Kaisi was the leader. I mean, it's you have to be a fan of a certain age to appreciate it, but this was kind of back when wrestling was kind of considered real still, so it was a real interesting looking group. They never really had a long sustained run, but you know me, any time I can mention Kamala,
yeah,
I'll
I was just gonna say, I've been watching the clock, I'm like, we're almost at the end. He has not mentioned Kamala or the Billy and Chuck once.
What?
Well, I did talk to Billy Gunn's son
boys.
The other day, I said, you guys are so nice. I can't believe you as heels. Like, because they were at the Ric Flair roast taking pictures with kids. They made this one little girl almost cry because she was so like, oh, my God, can I take a picture with you, Austin? And he, like, got on his knee so he could be her height. And, like, I can't buy them as heels.
But because I have to imagine they grew up seeing the same thing happening to their dad and never thought they'd be in the position where they're in his footsteps and do on the exact same track, and they are, and they're probably enjoying every fucking second of it.
Yeah.
And I think Eddie made a great point. It's unreal how over Billy Gunn is still. Like, that crowd was popping hard for him. I could go without the scissor thing. That's a little weird, man.
I mean, that's the reason. I think that's the reason he did the switch to the Acclaimed. I don't think you're looking for some kind of storyline explanation. It's just because it's so goddamn over. It's so over that he has to go with the Acclaimed so they can keep saying Scissor Me Daddy Ass.
Although I did like Swerve coming out. Once again, you made the point. I mean, I really wanted to hear the rap because I don't know if they had one ready. I'm assuming they didn't because they knew Swerve was coming out.
Oh, I'm sure that dude had one ready during the press conference.
Yeah, I'm sure. Someone posted a really funny meme of the Acclaimed during the media scrum, and it was Eminem writing like like lyrics.
Wait, did you guys see the Dark Side of the Ring thing that they did with Punk?
No.
Somebody created a fake 2-minute Dark Side of the Ring segment about CM Punk. And
with hilarious. The Bucks talking and stuff. Yeah, I did see that.
No, I haven't.
It's so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, dude, I texted you guys, like, what a heel move from Swerve Strickland cutting off the rap. Everyone was, you could see it. The second the song started, everyone stood up because they were like, this is it. This is it. He's going to rap about it. But nope.
I mean, there's so many potential rhymes, you know, with Punk, you know, and Bucks. Like, there's some innuendos you could go with that.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it was a great heel move by Swerve.
Yeah. Well, it's a very exciting time in wrestling. It feels like it's been exciting for a while, and it's either one thing or another. You know, it's either Vince going crazy and you know, leaving and all this stuff. It's just a lot. There's a lot going on, so we'll definitely keep bringing you some segments and stories and some guests. We have some cool guests lined up. Well, I had one lined up for the 24th, but
he's suspended, so he's got the time to come.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not going to say the name, but hopefully it works out. We have an outsider segment for you today with a special guest, host of the reality dating show Hotties on Hulu's. Hulu's, wow.
Hulu. Oh, my God.
On Hulu's, Hotties on Hulu's. She got a new special, Jaded, coming out of Helium Comedy Studios. Jade, Caterpillar.
Yeah. Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
You're welcome.
It's
you're
the best.
You're Brasileira, yes?
So Brasileira. I should have worn my, like, Steve Cold Austin.
No, I like what, like, you wore. Yeah, like, yeah. Respectfully. Yeah.
Thank you.
Muito obrigado for being here.
Nada.
That's a different era.
Oh, my God. I love 2022, Earl. I love respectfully.
In 2015, you're like, show those
yeah,
cans.
Yeah, yeah, look at those titties. I'm used to that. So now when I don't get it, I'm like, did I do something? It's drama. All right. Nice.
Well, tell me a little bit about Hotties real quick.
Hotties is a hybrid dating cooking competition show, but every 15 minutes we feed them spicy stuff while they're on these dates. So they're freaking out. Yeah, it's a lot of in one, but it's basically, it's a dating experiment where we want people to, like, remove that first date facade and just, like,
and have
be vulnerable.
Explosive
and be,
diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly. We love nothing sexier.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and they're thrown up and because they still want to win, you know, because they win money if they win a second date. So
ooh, okay.
They're trying their hardest.
They're probably going to spend that whole money on the third date, fourth date, you know,
we're all on Pepto.
Spending on toilet paper,
literally.
Imodium ID. how familiar are you with professional wrestling?
I feel like not very. Like, you know, I know stuff from documentaries and from the gossip stuff.
Okay,
like I know about the guy who killed his whole family and then cheated with the woman who was like the daughter.
Benoit, Chris.
Yes,
Benoit.
There you go.
Well, at least we know his finishing move worked.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Am I allowed to laugh?
Yeah, yeah.
To John, where was the kid's tag team partner? Benoit's kid.
Oh, my God. Earl.
All right. We just blew every WWE guest ever.
Cut that part out.
Timestamp.
Timestamp that shit. No, I know a little bit, and I know that because my boyfriend's really into wrestling, and he was like into like the first lady. He like, it was his, what's her name? Grace? It's like a very white lady
Elizabeth?
Name. Elizabeth. Yes. That's it. He was really into Elizabeth as a kid, so.
Me too, man. Macho Man Elizabeth. She was hot, yeah.
Like
Elizabeth is such a lady name. Like, Elizabeth.
Lady Elizabeth.
Yeah. Lady Elizabeth.
Lady
Rest Elizabeth. In peace, queen,
yes,
today.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah, rest in peace, queen.
I thought you
queen
meant Elizabeth.
No, no.
Queen. Actual queen. A couple years ago.
Well, that's good. I feel like you won't really know these characters that I'm about to name to you, but I'm going to name you a bunch of professional wrestlers, real ones.
Sick.
And I want you to guess what they look like and potentially what their finishing move is.
Okay. So, like, the finishing, The Rock, the finishing move of The Rock is like, can you smell? That's a finishing move?
No, no, no.
That's a tagline.
Okay.
That's
so his finishing move is like...
The Rock
the
Bottom.
The move, The Rock Bottom.
Duh, yeah. Or the idiots, people's I told elbow. You guys. That's what I said. Yeah. Okay.
No, he just does the scene from The Fast and Furious, and the guy just runs out of the ring.
He starts singing Moana.
Oh, my God. Paul Walker was right to just say, drive me into that tree.
Oh, again. Earl can't help himself. He cannot.
I'm excited to see you. I mean, the last gig we did was Backyard Comedy.
Literally
in 2013.
14 years ago.
All right. Well, we'll start at the very top of this list. We have a man called Adam Bomb.
Ooh, Adam the Bomb. You know Adam the Bomb. He's a white guy from Connecticut, but when he does a little bit too much cocaine, he kicks your ass.
Oh.
And at the very end, he gets up really high and he bombs down on the people.
On the people. What do you think he looks like?
I think he looks like white guy, but like slicked back hair. Oh,
slicked
yeah.
Slicked back hair, jacked?
I think jacked. I think big eyes.
Okay.
You're talking about our
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
bad.
Fuck, not knowing that guy. Is he wearing goggles?
Is he
going to go swimming?
Yeah, he's a nuclear explosion.
Wow.
Adam Bomb.
The outline looks small. Like,
well,
it looks like
he's probably nervous from the, you know, it's cold in there.
Oh, I get it. It's a nuke. He's like, oh, he's a nuclear plant guy, spilling over. I see.
I mean, that looks pretty big to me.
You know what? He's been exposed to a lot of radiation, so it's fair to have a small dick from that.
Yeah, you know. Also, the steroids probably don't help.
His hair he's hot. I'd say, can we do a hot rating as well
go? Yeah, so hot, you know, 1 through 10, would you bang?
1 through 10, would you bang? I love this segment. I feel like I would, depending on what his voice sounded like.
A very high-pitched squeal. No, I'm
love
just
that. Sexy. depending if, like, you know, what the chat was like. But he looks huge. Like, is that guy tiny in the purple, or is that just how big he is?
Yes, that's about my also size.
Harvey Whippleman is not your size.
That's hilarious. This fucking dude is 7 feet tall.
He's pretty big.
Yeah, he's pretty big. Well, I mean, Harvey Whippleman is tiny also, but he is a big guy.
But I like that his idea was like a nuclear bomb, and I'm thinking like the bomb, you know?
Yeah. This is an older, this is before, I don't think they were saying the bomb back then.
I know, yeah, he's like hanging out with Kiss. This is a minute ago.
All right, number two on the list, we've got Earthquake.
Oh, he's this like black comic. He's super good. There was like rumors for a while that he was illiterate, but I don't believe it because he is so funny. Now, Earthquake, let's see. Is everything like a bomb or a shake or a disruption?
Something like that.
Okay, cool. Earthquake. Oh, no. Climate change. It's bad. So he's here to save the world from lack of electricity. He comes around and unplugs everybody's plugs at night when they're sleeping. Now, Earthquake, he's like a super fucking huge fucking dude. And like whenever he walks, the whole stage shakes.
Damn, you're pretty good.
He slams people with his belly fat, hides drugs in there.
I think that's actually one of the moves.
Like titty slaps people.
Boom!
Oh,
he sat on people's faces, and I'm sure it didn't smell great
that was
in there.
Move.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. His hair is so aggressive where it is.
Hey,
right?
That is such confidence, though, to walk out in public with that hair, though. You know what I mean?
The bald on top, hair on bottom is confident to
that
me.
That looks like, kind of looks like Burt Kreischer. Anyway,
it kind of, like, if you could pick a comic, that would be the guy. Yeah, like, the Photoshop true. Steve dude would do that, I feel like. Also, the leotard, it's tinier than most leotards.
Well, like, it's like a thong. Accentuate his features.
He looks like my ex there.
Oh, boy. All right. That was good, though. You got close. I do think he used to smash people with his belly, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
All right. Number three on this list. Hornswoggle.
Think about it.
Think about it for a minute.
If you even come close, I will take
you. Okay, how about this? Do I get to know what a swoggle is? Because I don't know what it is.
You might already
know. Wait, before we keep going, you didn't... 1 to 10, would you bang?
That's a -5 on that one. Right. Yeah. That's a -5. He looks like he smells like cheese. Yeah. I don't know why. Okay, what is it again?
Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Swoggle. Swoggle. What's a swoggle? Do I get to know or is it a move?
You might already know.
A swoggle. Swoggle.
That's all one word.
That's all one word.
Hornswoggle.
He's not swoggling horns.
It's not like Mr. Swoggle.
But what's a swoggle? Like, what's the definition of that? Do we know?
Everyone has their own version.
All right. I feel like he's like a little horny dog. Like, he goes around. Because horn, I don't know, horn, I'm getting horny from that just because I'm horny from that. The first guy.
Oh, really?
Still.
Let's get the podcast.
Adam Bomb.
Yeah. You guys, Hornswoggle. Ooh, that's a hard one. I feel like it's something twisty. Like, he goes around and does, like, one of those, like, you know when you're dancing and you, like, go arm to arm.
Okay.
Right. You like that? But he does that and slams you.
Ooh.
And he comes behind and smells your ass like a horny. Oh, Dick could not guess that.
Yes. It is a LP.
Wow.
He is still actively wrestling, by the way.
Okay, so what does swoggle mean?
I don't know. He's supposed to be a leprechaun. I don't know. Maybe there's a leprechaun thing.
Is he Scottish at all? Or is, like, what's he sound like? He's like, like, what's his voice?
That's pretty close.
I met him. He's just a regular dude.
Yeah, he's a regular
dude. Oh, my God. He comes in a box. You can literally order him to your house.
They've had him sit underneath the ring, like, hide underneath the ring for hours just to have him come out for, like, a little
spot. That's actually where he lives. He has, like, a little cot and shit, a little book.
A little bulb.
Yeah. I bet that guy has a bigger dick than the last one.
Probably. I mean, look at that package right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big. Like,
I still don't get what hornswoggle means.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm lost on that one.
John, do you have any guesses?
Yeah, John.
Oh, I see. Does he do, like, leprechaun-y stuff like that? Is that whole, like...
Oh, yeah. He comes out with a pot of gold and, all of that.
Yeah, he's Jewish, comes out with the gold.
I feel like it's, like, kind of, you're going to run out of leprechaun shit to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of specific. Like, all right, the pot of gold, the green, and then what do? You get drunk and then...
Rainbows?
I mean, he didn't have a long career.
He's still doing indie stuff, but he just looks like that now in the middle with, like, the regular t-shirt. Doesn't go with the whole gimmick.
He looks cool there. He looks like he works for Jackass. Like, look at the backwards hat. Like, he's chill.
Yeah. No, he's a good dude. A good dude. All right.
He bites guys' dicks. He just walks right up to them and...
That'd be a finishing move for sure.
That could be good.
I like the
he
move.
He just got
the
hornswoggled.
I like the dance move, though. That was creative. That was creative. All right. Number four on the list. Jungle Boy.
Oh, guys, you know what's up with Jungle Boy. He wakes up and goes like, like Tarzan, swings from side to side, has a little fucking Tarzan thing under there. And his finishing move is like a Tarzan, like he'll yell from the top and then jump down.
Close.
You're not far off.
You're not far off.
Does he have a monkey? Does he bring a monkey along, like an ape?
He used to bring a dinosaur. Not anymore.
Let's see this guy.
I'm not saying anything.
Oh, good night. He looks like a 16-year-old boy. He's rebelling. Oh,
that's his dad.
Yeah.
I was going to say he looks familiar.
Yeah, Jack Perry's kid. Or his name is Jack Perry. He's,
Luke Perry's kid. Oh, my God. This guy's hot. He looks like he could be on American Idol. You know what I mean? Like, that's his look. Yeah, the Tarzan thing, Yeah, 100%.
Comes up to that song. What's that song called? Oh.
Baltimore, Tarzan Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Luke Perry in Rocky Horror Picture Show on Broadway, and we could see like the full outline of his dick. My sister and I were
very
so
impressed.
Excited. Yeah.
Very impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's dating one of the hottest girls in AEW. He's dating Anna.
That's her?
Where's she at? Yeah, right there.
Let me see her.
Can you pull up Anna Jay from Dark Order?
I mean, it's like, how much darker can it get than acting? Wrestling. Like, that's, your parents are like, we don't want you to be a comic or a wrestler.
That's the girl.
Oh, she is super hot. So she's a, what's her name?
Anna Jay. She was in the Dark Order, but now she's with Chris Jericho.
I like that pose.
This is my, me too, just straight in. The thing is, like, how come guys have all these, like sworn diggity, and then it's like Heather Thompson. Like, why do they have such simple names?
Well, because when they do come up with their names, it's Dewdrop.
Who I'm in love with.
Yeah. Yeah, there is the bunny.
But then again, these are all just like slutty girl names. There's
not
like...
Yeah, she comes out like a penthouse bunny too. Like, it's just...
Yeah, like, are there any ugly girl characters? I want to see those, you know what I mean?
Luna Vachon.
Yeah, but she's... I think she's dead.
This is the one that Earl likes, the Dewdrop.
Yeah, yeah.
Man. She's cool.
I'd smash.
Yeah. Piper Niven was her official name.
I don't care what her name is.
What's her? So what does she do? She sits on people's faces?
She's like a big old drop of water. I don't really know. There's the ugly girl.
That girl's cool. I wouldn't say ugly. I feel like she's representing as a character. That's how wrestler women should be. But why are they like... this pisses me off.
Well, you know, we've moved into the, you know, the women's revolution into, in, it used to be way worse. There used to be bra and panties matches.
Well, but what about GLOW? Like, what about the ladies of GLOW?
Was that just like a TV thing? It was never popular enough to like be like mainstream, you know?
Right. Just making
a first
show.
Eleanor was in that, right?
Of course. And she wore jeans. I was like, that is so Mexican of you. Wow. Is that bad to say? I'm so sorry. Did I offend anybody? Okay.
I've said a lot worse.
Okay. Yeah. Good. That's how I feel.
All right, here we go. Next one. Dude Love.
Dude Love, you know, he's just a good old Southern boy, you know. He goes from the ranch to the ring, you know. But he also fucking loves animals. His love of animals has made him want to fight people that are trying to kill animals. So he's like, I don't know, I guess he's like a vegan dude too in my mind. Oh. No, he's like a ranch guy. That's how I picture. And he does like a... What is it when you do like that line dancing thing?
Do stuff.
And then he kicks him at the end. There's like a two-step into a face kick.
Fuck. That's good. I mean, that's creative take on Dude Love. I wouldn't have gone with that, but that's cool.
Dude Love.
Here we go.
Oh, I know this dude. I know the missing tooth dude.
Yeah, that's Mick Foley. He was also Mankind and Cactus Jack at one point.
He just loves love, dude.
He loves love.
Lost half of his ear in a match once.
Yeah. The missing tooth actually came out of his lip, like through his lip, and landed in his nose. I watched it happen.
That's so...
Because he got hit with a chair.
Is that that? Oh, that's another thing?
Yeah.
That looks like me and my boyfriend in the bedroom, literally. We were laying the mouth.
Which one's you?
I'm Dude Love.
Oh,
and he's
right.
like, no! You know? Oh, yeah, he looks like that now. But didn't he have like a brain surgery or something, right? I thought I saw him in some documentary.
He should have. He's had hip surgery because he couldn't even walk for a while.
You guys, how do people do this like day to day? I'm coming as a comic. I'm like, how do they mentally do this?
Painkillers and alcohol.
Steroids. Percocets.
Also the rush you get of walking out into an arena with an entire arena just for you. It's not
right?
You know what I mean? Like, it's wild.
But they just want to see you get hurt. It's kind of fucked up, which is kind of,
Well.
I'm cheering them on to their
Don't you feel bad for the other guy always? Like, I can't watch sports because I'm like, the other guy.
Right.
Somebody lost.
Yeah. I mean, for me, actually, I'm a little too close to it. I know I have too many friends that do it. So when I go to these local shows and I see them do a move and it, like, doesn't really land properly, I freak out.
It's like a joke not landing. You're like.
Well, no. It's just because I know they're hurt.
Oh,
now they're
I see.
Really hurt.
Like
they're not protected.
Make contact. Yeah.
So like they'll land on their neck, and I'm like, oh, come on.
Will you take me to a wrestling match? I want to go.
Absolutely.
I've been wanting to go.
We'll all go.
Yeah.
I've been wanting
to go. She would love New Japan.
Yeah. Oh, that's like next week. Yeah, we can go to SmackDown.
I want to do it. Oh my God, that sounds fun.
I'll take her to XPW.
Oh God.
What is that, like a dirty grunge?
Oh my God, it's super violent.
It's at the Derby in Pasadena.
You want to go to Pomona? It's on a Saturday. It's 140 degrees.
Yeesh.
You're killing each other. We're eating the meat and tacos after.
It's death matches. So they're hitting each other with barbed wire. And
I can't. That's too much for me.
Oh,
that's
you'd throw up.
Yeah.
You should go to SmackDown, though. That's more of a...
Yeah, like more of a theater, like a theatrical production. I like MMA, too, obviously. I'm Brazilian. I have to.
Yeah, they teach you that in the
womb,
right?
They'll kick you out. Yeah.
Last one. Blue Meanie.
blue meanie? Like, is it like blue ball meanie, or is he blue because he's sad and he's like depressed? He comes at you with his fucking pain medication, like with his like SSRI medication.
You're not far off.
Blue. Yeah, he's just like, he's mad. He's cold. Oh, maybe he's cold. Like, he's blue in the face.
Okay.
He's like, freezing, and he's so cold he punches. I don't know.
Like Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. What kind of body would you say blue meanie
has? I feel like he's sad, so he's like a little chunkier of a dude.
Damn,
you're good at this. You're
right?
Good at this game. You're right. One of the better ones.
You know, I'm related to the Gracies.
Really?
I really am, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
He's like, oh, shit, that's, yeah, like, on my dad's side. I know, I never talk about it because people get real interested and I don't know much. So I'm like, yeah, he's just a dude I would see at parties, you know?
Awesome. Yeah. I mean,
oh, he is blue. Oh, yeah. He's like emo blue.
No, he's more like the Beatles' Yellow Submarine.
Oh, I see. Wow, this guy, mixed messages, I feel like, for me.
Yeah, I have no idea what his actual gimmick is.
Like, right, like, well, yeah, what is it? Like,
and he likes the Beatles a lot. And, I mean, it was a comedy act, obviously.
You know, there's, like, different kinds of fat dudes, you know? Like, he's got that, like, I'm a preggy fat dude. Like, it's not even distributed fat dude.
Yeah,
it's like, really on the belly.
It's all beer.
It's all beer.
Yeah. Doing keg stands, maybe.
I like that he's drawing on those dumb black glasses on his face every night going, I'm fucking made it.
Yeah.
I'm about to go out there.
One to ten, would you bang?
Say he's the head of JFL.
Oh my God.
Throw in some incentives.
You think I fucked some dude to do a festival? Do you think that's where I'm at with my career? Come on, Earl.
No, I'm just saying. No, like if
you he's the head of JFL.
If it was him.
Dream bigger, dude.
Okay, you get your own gala.
What? Give me a sitcom at least if I'm going to fuck some fat dude.
Okay, fine.
Four seasons on Netflix and two specials.
Three specials.
But
then would people know that it's because I fucked this weird blue wrestler?
No, it's all in the DL.
It's all you. It's all in your head so you can suffer internally forever.
Nah, man. Nah.
All right, 10 seasons of a hit special.
Give me the first, dude.
Oh, man.
We'll make some magic. Wait, so those are all the girls that are popular right now. Who is the most popular female wrestler? Show me that and I'll get out of here.
Alexa Bliss is pretty popular.
Alexa, Becky, or...
Pull up Alexa.
Bailey, you know, one of those. Liv Morgan's the champion. Yeah, that's a good call. She's
the champion. Oh my God. This girl is so hot. She looks like
Margot Robbie?
Yeah, doesn't she?
Yeah. Yeah,
how is
like
she not getting fucked up? Like, are they hurting themselves?
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh my God, these girls are fucking hot. They're athletes. They're just like super hot gymnasts who are
like
now
models.
So you know Ric Flair?
That's
his daughter, Charlotte.
Is this
Flair?
The daughter who? No, that's a different daughter.
Yeah, no, she's wrestling right now. Well, not
she kind of has his face a little bit on that photo right there. Look,
she keeps doing plastic surgery to fix that part of her. But
I think the other one is.
Yeah, I mean that. They do look kind of alike there.
Yeah.
Becky or Bailey? Who's the... Bianca Belair.
That's my sister's name. She looks like she could kick somebody's ass. Like, she looks scary. She looks like she... Is she... Are a lot of them gay? Like, openly gay? Or are they all like, I love dick?
Most of them are actually dating some of the wrestlers.
Really?
The whole is a whole to them.
Wow, this is a wrestler?
Yep, that's
crazy.
How about Britt Baker? She's not too bad on the eyeballs.
But you guys, do you see how this is weird? They all look like hot porn cheerleaders. Like, none of them are like character, like, they don't get to be like the dudes. It's kind of fucked up.
Yep.
I mean, we already knew that, but what?
Yeah, she's an actual dentist, and she plays a dentist on TV.
The only reason she's a dentist is because she gets her teeth fucked up every week and has to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty. Look at that picture down there in the bottom right, all bloodied
that's
up.
That's real blood.
No, that's not.
Yeah. She had a crazy match. Thumbtacks and through tables.
I'm just obsessed with the MMA fighter who's a Brazilian. What's her name?
Oh.
She's got like a kid. It's really cute.
Not Amanda Nunes.
Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
She's fucking crazy.
She's a big dude.
I love her. Yeah, and I like following her because there's a real sweetness to her with her family, but then she's like this world champion.
Yeah.
All right, you guys.
All right, cool. Well, Jade, thank you for joining us for
best.
An outsider segment.
We love you.
Plug away. What's your wrestler name?
Oh, what's yours?
Dick Nasty.
Dick Nasty is good.
Yeah, I didn't even have to think about it.
Did you have been? Yeah.
I would be a luchador, and it would be El Profeta Falso, which is the false prophet.
Oh, you've really thought about this.
Oh, wow. I have the
mask
at home.
I feel like he has diaries. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mine would be Latuna.
I bet.
No, that's my drag name.
That's your drag name.
It's my drag name. Or
what would your finishing move be with Latuna?
Yeah, I would just like and split into their face.
You know I would love that. Yeah, that'd be your first match.
That'd be the only match I'd do.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Let's do it in the main room.
In the main room.
4 hours.
On the main stage. Jade, where can people find you? Tell us about your special. When is that coming out?
Yeah, please. It's out right now on YouTube at Comedy or Helium Comedy Studios. All 12 specials that they did are out. Go watch mine. It's called Jaded. It's out right now. And then also watch Hotties. It's on Hulu, streaming right now, all 10 episodes. And you can find me on socials at Jade Catapretta. All across the board. Go on my website for some dates.
All right.
See ya.
Jade's the best. Follow her.
Yes. If you guys are watching and listening, please follow us at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Store Is War on Twitter. Email us at comedystorewrestling@gmail.com. Any suggestions you got. You can find me at RRBG Podcast, and you can find Earl.
At Earl Skakel everywhere, E-A-R-L-S-K-A-K-E-L, and I'm at the Comedy Store a few times a week. So if you're local to L.A., DM me on Instagram. I'll take care of you and your guests. Do some wrestling jokes if you'd like, and or if not, you know, the wrestling jokes never really work, to be honest with you, but I still do them. So, you know, come on down, and, you know, you're right. It is a very exciting time, and this is almost getting back to the Monday Night Wars level where, you know, each side is one-upping. You know, MJF talking about WWE, and I thought it was interesting. Triple H kind of downplayed I think Dynamite beat NXT, and he's like, great, they beat our development system. But he said it in a way where you know it bothered him. Like,
yeah.
So I love it.
Yeah, yeah, it's exciting.
Like, it's exciting to be like, okay, we're back to, like, tit for tat. Let's see what you got. And
yeah, but then you have Khan going, oh, they were mean to me. We're not going to do the Forbidden Door now. I'm like, dude, are you fucking, what's going on?
Yeah.
He should, I love him. Listen, we are doing this podcast in part because there is an AEW, but he should not be on camera. He reminds me of that episode of the Brady Bunch when Cindy Brady was just staring into the camera because she was, like, scared. That thing on Monday, or Dynamite, was, to quote my comic friend Patrick Melton, it was cringe.
Yeah, it's quite cringy.
Just like, dude, have, or come out live where people, you know, the people are going to shit on you. They're going to throw stuff at you. He'll probably be nervous and botch a line. So, you know, he should embrace being a fan.
I'm curious as to why he got booed.
Well, I think it was still fresh in people's minds.
But what did he do? It was Punk that did all the talking.
He's the head of the company.
Yeah, I guess. And they're booing him for not running the company. Yeah, that's true. I guess that makes sense.